29 Sunday, GSC Ordinary Time. The first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 8 to 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel rebelled, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek rebelled. But Moses' hand grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat upon it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hand, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hand was steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Second reading from the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 to chapter 4, verses 2. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writing, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, break the war, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there were a judge who little feared God nor regarded men. And there were a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Vindicate me against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but after a while he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bother me, I will vindicate her, so she will wear me out by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge say, and will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Sharing of the reading. First, the theme: persevering in prayer until attaining the desired result. Many of us do not correctly understand the value of prayer. Some say, why don't we use our human effort to attain what we want instead of relying on God's help? To rely on God is weak, and making God at the miraculous machine under the human control. The people forget that planning belongs to human being, but achieving belongs to God. If God does not help, human effort is useless. The readings in two consecutive weeks emphasize that the faithful must be persevering in their faith until they reach their wish. Last week's readings are on faith and this week on prayer. In the first reading, Moses was praying while Joshua told his soldiers to fight with the Amalekites. The Israelites are winning when Moses raised his hand in prayer. Why the opposite happened when Moses put his hand down? In the second reading, Paul advised Timothy to be faithful in studying and preaching the gospel, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. The gospel is useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. In the gospel, a widow persevered in her intention by coming to the Gentile judge daily to ask him to judge fairly for her case until she had the victory. Second analysis. The first reading. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel rebelled. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek rebelled. Third point, why must Moses pray? Some believe that victory in battlefield is due to the commander's skill and the military power, not on human prayer and God's help. Of course, winning by military power and the commander's skill is normal. But winning with a small number of soldiers and simple weapons is simply by God's assisting power. The Jewish history is full of victories by God's help and human prayer. For example, the Exodus and the Israelites' victory over Pharaoh's mighty chariots and charioteers, the triumphant victory of the prophet Elijah over 450 Baal prophets on Mount Carmel, the miraculous decree in which Cyrus, the Gentile Persian king, released the Israelites to return to their country and helped them to have the financial means to rebuild the Jerusalem temple, etc. Moses prayed to God because he believed that only God could help the Israelites to be victorious on the way to the promised land. Moses only had a small number of soldiers with simple weapons, but having a firm faith in God, he strongly believed that God shall hear his prayer. Second point, Why did Moses have to pray continuously? God had power to grant people prayer quickly. Why did he want Moses to pray continually to the point that Aaron and Hur must help him by holding his hands straight up toward heaven? One on the right and other on the left. There are two reasons. First, God wanted them to know that the victory over the Amalekites is completely by God. It isn't that he wanted their admiral, but to show them that if they firmly believe in him and obediently do what he commands, he shall help them to be successful. Second, God wants human cooperation in bringing out the result. He doesn't want people to turn him to the miraculous machine. Whatever they want, they only need to pray. But he wants people to try their best and patiently wait for the result so that they might understand the value of what they pray for. If they attain the result easily and quickly, they might not understand God's love and the value of the gift. In addition, they are easy to insult God and charge the gifts he bestows on them. Second reading. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Third point, pray and act to the scripture. Many people are wrong when they identify to pray with to ask for a favor. To understand properly, to pray is to converse with God. To ask for a favor is only a small part in prayer. In the conversation, there need to be two dimensions. When God says, people listen. And when people talk, God listens. To pray with scripture is the more proper way because in scripture, God talks and teaches people. After understanding what God wants to say, people decide to apply God's teaching in their daily life with his assistance. Praying with the scripture also helps people to ask for what pleases God and useful for others, not only for themselves. Paul understood the value of the scripture, so he advised his disciple Timothy as follows. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from the childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Second point, bridge the wall, be urgent in season and out of season. People have a tendency that they only learn when it is convenient, pray when they need a favor, and only practice their religion when they were blessed with all things. They forget that All things have their time and order. In order to be an expert in a special field, for example, a doctor, a dentist, or a teacher, one needs to spend about 20 years of their life with countless of effort, sacrifice, and suffering to acquire enough knowledge before they can work in that area. To live a happy life in this world and to inherit the eternal life in heaven are much more important tasks. But many people don't want to spend time to learn scripture. They satisfy with the Sunday mass and homilies. When we look back at Jesus' life and the leader in the Old and the New Testament, we recognize that many of them spend almost all their lives for learning, praying, and preaching the gospel. Jesus spent 30 years to learn and only 3 years to preach continually. The apostles imitated Jesus. They followed him to learn, and after his death, they spent all their life to preach and to witness for the gospel by their death. After recognizing the right road, Paul spent his whole life to preach the gospel on the synagogue, on the beach when there is no synagogue, with the officer as well as people, where he is free and where he is in prison, he became all things for all people. Understanding the importance of the gospel, Saint Paul handed on the sincere words to his disciple Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. Third, the gospel. Will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Third one, the Gentile judge and the annoyed widow. The reason why Jesus told this parable to his disciples is clearly pointed out by Luke, to teach them to always pray, not discourage it. The Gentile judge, he did not worship God and regard of anyone, not a poor widow. For a long time, he did not listen to the widow begging. But at the end, he thought, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothered me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. The widow, she is poor and single. There is no one to rely on. Therefore, she became a prey for people who are looking to harm her. She came to the judge many times and asked him to give her justice. Vindicate me against my adversary. Though the judge denied her request many times, but she did not lose heart. She steadfastly determined to continue to ask until she might get what she wants. There are two important points which we need to pay attention to. First, this widow were unjustly treated, and she asked to be fairly treated. She didn't ask to be treated favorably. The judge himself also said that he shall justly judge for her. Secondly, the widow must work hard by coming and asking the judge many times, not only to sit in her house and to wait for the result. Second point, God loves his children. Jesus compared that Gentile judge with his father, and he guaranteed his father had more justice than the Gentile judge. Jesus said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge say, and will not God vindicate his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily." Two main points that Jesus wants to teach us through this parable. First, God is the judge. He shall never let her children to be treated unjustly. He shall rightly punish those who do such things. But he wants his children to patiently wait to practice their faith. Believing in God and Christ is the priceless gift which God bestows on people. But to protect faith and to make it grow daily are the human duties. For faith to grow, suffering and trials should not be lacked. Jesus himself recognized the human insult of faith when he asked his audience, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Second, he gives the wicked a chance to repent. People want to destroy their enemy right away. They forget that the wicked are also God's children. God does not want the wicked to be destroyed, but want them to repent and to live. If God is patient with us, while we are still sinners, we must also be patient and give others a chance to repent. Application in life. God is the one who controls everything of our life. We will not be successful without God's help. Therefore, learning scripture and praying to find God's will are the two things which should not be lacked in our life. To have God's gift, we need to ask, especially try to express what we want, and persevere in suffering for that thing to come, not just sitting and waiting. We need to learn scripture before we could apply God's word in our life to teach, to reprove, and to become righteous. Preaching the gospel is our duty to do in all situations, whether it is convenient or not. Amen.